I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
I am who Christ is.
Now, when we believe the word of God works in us. It means that the word of God has a working ability. Now, the word works in your spirit. The word works in your soul. And then the word works in your body.
And sharper than any two-edged sword.
Penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and body. So the word of God has a surgical power. The church is not supposed to teach sin. We are supposed to teach righteousness because we are the righteousness of God. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable unto instruction in righteousness. Not instruction in sin. We don't need to have knowledge about sin. We need to have knowledge about righteousness. Because that is who we are.
You are invited to World Changes Conference this Sunday at Airport West Hotel at 6 p.m. and every other Sunday. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Enjoy grace as you grow in the knowledge of God.
Say the word of God is God speaking to me. Say I am who Christ is. Say I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. Say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. In heavenly place. Now. Say, in heavenly place. Now,
you're all welcome to World Changers Conference. I want you to look at one person and tell the person that you're welcome to World Changers Conference. I can see some new faces in the house. So you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Shall we please open our Bibles? Shall we please take our Bibles? Zava Shandalaba Kasandalaba. Oh, Leva Kose Kora Hasaya. Can you please open our Bibles, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22-23. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22-23. Shandala hasin kebele veko shaka. Vonku sandeli makoya. Last week we talked about faith. We were talking about our walk of faith. And we said there are two kinds of faith. There is faith and there is our faith. And we said that the first faith is the faith that the elders used in obtaining a good report. And the second, our faith is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we talked a lot about faith. Today we are going to talk a lot about our faith. Amen. Our faith. Have you opened to Galatians chapter 3 verse 22? Galatians chapter 3 verse 22-23. Can someone read it out for us? So look into our Bibles.
Galatians chapter 3 verse 22-23. Mm-hmm. I'm reading from the King James Version. Mm-hmm. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, mm-hmm. that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Mm-hmm. But before faith came, mm-hmm. we were kept under the law, mm-hmm. shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. It says, before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith that was afterwards to be revealed. It means that there was a faith that was afterwards to be revealed. That those who were under the law were shut up to. Hallelujah. So he talks about, Paul talks about the faith that was afterwards going to be revealed. So the faith that was afterwards going to be revealed has now been revealed. Praise God. But before the faith that was afterwards to be revealed was revealed, there were men who lived by faith. And so we said that those who lived by faith before the faith that was afterward to be revealed was revealed now, which is the faith in Christ Jesus. Before the faith in Christ Jesus was revealed, there were men who lived after faith or walked by faith. Then we said those men who walked by faith, walked by the faith that enabled them to obtain a good report. Praise God. And then when you read your Bible, you discover that the Bible says by faith the Israelites walked on dry land. They walked on dry land. Hallelujah. So last week we talked about Hebrews chapter 11 and all those things. But I wanted to take notice of something. So when you read the Bible, you understand that the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11, I think verse 30 downwards. See, understand. The Galatians is very important. So take notice of that scripture. The Galatians is very important. That there was a faith that was afterward to be revealed. And that faith has now been revealed in Christ Jesus. Praise God. But before the faith that was afterward to be revealed was revealed, there were people who lived by faith. And there were people who also had the law but lived by faith. For instance, the Bible tells us about in Hebrews chapter 11, I think verse 32, 33 says that. It says, time will fail me, or time will fail to talk about men like Daniel, like David, and the prophets. And he mentioned other names. He says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. So when we take a man like Daniel, Daniel was taken as a captive. Hallelujah. But you see, when you read, it says that when Daniel was taken as a captive, there were men who decided that they would put Daniel in trouble. And so they decided that they wouldn't get anything about Daniel to put him in trouble unless with the law of his God. So it means that Daniel was addicted to the law. He was a law addict. Even though he was in a foreign land or he was in another land as a slave. Hallelujah. Are you following? Now, when he was taken into... When the people said that they wanted... They won't get anything against him unless with the law of his God. They decided that if they want to plot something, they should plot it against his God. And so they said that they went to the king and told the king that he should pass a law that nobody should serve any other God for some days. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that when the law was passed, Daniel went and prayed three times daily as he always used to do, or as he did aforetimes. So he used to pray three times daily. Hallelujah. And he was addicted to the law. Daniel. So, when they plotted against him, when they went, what was he doing? He was praying. The Bible says, as soon as Daniel heard that the decree has been signed, or the decree has been made by the king, he went ahead to go and pray as he used to do. And when he went to pray as he used to do, he was caught in the trap. So they decided that a man like Daniel, they will put him into a lion's den. Yet the Bible says that through faith, this man stopped the mouths of lion. Through his faith. Because he was addicted to the law of God. He had faith. You see, the Bible says that when he was thrown into the lion's den, when he entered the lion's den, the lions could not harm him or could not hurt him. Yet when you read Hebrews, it is revealed that he did it through faith. So Daniel through faith. He didn't say through God. No. But it says Daniel through faith stopped the mouths of lion. Hallelujah. How did he stop the mouth of lion? Through his faith. In the law of God. Why? Because he had studied the law of God again and again. Hallelujah. We talk about men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says that through faith, they quenched the violence of fire. Through faith. When you read in the book of Daniel, you discover that the Bible says that the man had made a graven image and had told them that they should bow down to that graven image. Yet the men said that no. How did why could they say no? Because they were Hebrews or Jews who knew from the law of God that God had said in the law that he gave to Moses. Are you following? He had said in the law that he gave to Moses that thou shalt have no any other God apart from me. By that understanding, they decided not to bow down to the man's graven image, the king's graven image. Hallelujah. And then, the king decided that he was going to put them in fire. And the Bible says that the men said that our God is able to deliver us. Why? They had studied the law. They knew how God delivered the Israelites out of the hand of Egypt and Pharaoh. So by their studies of the law, they had faith and they said that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he says, even if he does not deliver us, he is still God. and they were taken into the fire. Yet Hebrews 11 by revelation, Paul says that this man through faith, they stopped, they quenched the violence of fire. They prevented fire from burning them. How? Through faith. Yet the Bible tells us that there was a faith that was afterward going to be revealed apart from this faith that was being demonstrated by these people. That faith is what I call our faith. Are you following? So if them through their kind of faith could have the results, this testimony that we talk about, what can we have with our kind of faith? Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It says, for this is the victory that overcometh the world. It says, even our faith. I want you to take notice of the word our faith. Then go to, you come back to that verse. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2.
Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. Uh-huh. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Let us lay aside every weight mm-hmm. and the sin which that so easily besets us. Mm-hmm. And let us run with patience mm-hmm. the race that is set before us. Mm-hmm. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Take notice of the word our faith over there. Hallelujah. 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 Now, when you read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you discover that the apostles who wrote these epistles intentionally put the our faith there. See, the word our faith there or our there, that is not a pronoun. It's not because it's a pronoun. Are you listening? Are you listening? It is because in the New Testament, faith is a gift. In the New Testament, faith is a gift and faith is a possession. Write it down. The reason why I use our faith is because in the New Testament, faith is a gift and faith is a possession. Because in the New Testament, faith is a gift and faith is a possession. Now, I want us to open to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. We said that the reason why the apostles use the word our faith is because in the New Testament faith is a gift and faith is a possession. So we are going to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, Romans chapter 10 verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that it is not of yourselves, or it is not yourselves. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, quickly. Verse 7, reading downwards. The word is 9D. Even in thy mouth. Mm-hmm. And in thy heart. Mm-hmm. That is the word of faith which we preach. Oh, but it's okay, we'll continue. See, are you listening? Faith is a gift. Faith is a possession in the New Testament. Now, when you are born again, or before you are born again, the gospel has to be preached to you. When the gospel is, that is why it says that even the word that we preach, the word of faith which we preach, the word of faith then means that the word of God has the ability to impart faith. When the gospel, you see, sometimes, I've said this before, that sometimes when you read the Bible, you see that it says that the word of grace. Sometimes it says the word of life. Sometimes it says the word of faith. He calls the word of God the word of life, because he's trying to bring your attention to a particular revelation of the word of God's ability to impart life. That is why it says that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, through the word of God, or by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Praise God. So the word of God has life, or the word of God is life. The word of God is able to impart life. So he calls the word of God the word of life. The word of God is able to impart faith. So when the gospel is being preached to you, faith comes to you. Listen. Listen very carefully. Faith comes to you. Why? Because the word of faith which we preach, or the word of God that we preach, has faith. Are you listening? So when the word of God is being preached to you, faith comes to you. So that you are able to believe the word of God. And then you are able to confess Jesus as your Lord, the Lord of your life. Why? Because when the word is being preached, faith comes to you. That faith enables you to confess Jesus as your Lord. So one day in the book of Acts, the Bible says that there was this man who was devout. His name was Cornelius. He had to be saved. God wanted that man to be saved, even though he was not a Christian. So Peter had to go to Cornelius' house and then preach the gospel. When he preached the gospel, faith was generated towards them through the gospel that he was preaching. So they believed the gospel. So they believed Jesus as their Lord. And then they confessed him as their Lord. And then they were saved. That is what happens to everybody. Are you following me? So that when the word of God is being preached to you, faith generates towards you. Why? Because the word of God is the word of faith, which is preached. So that by that word of faith, or that word of God, you believe in the word. When you believe in the word, that is when you are able to believe in Christ Jesus and confess his lordship over your life. Amen. When you confess his lordship over your life, that same faith that was generated towards you when the gospel was being preached is imparted into your spirit. Are you following? So that in the New Testament, when a person is saved, faith is imparted into the person's spirit. So, your spirit has faith. Now, Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 9 to verse 12, quickly.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture has said. For the scripture saith. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Amen. Verse 12, continue.
Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Shall be saved. Continue.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How shall they hear without a preacher?
How shall they preach except they be sent?
And how shall they preach except they be sent? So, you have to, there should be a preacher. You have to hear, then you believe. What do you have to hear? The word of God. Continue.
Hallelujah. Verse
15.
As it is written.
How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing.
So then, faith cometh by hearing.
and hearing by the word of
and
God.
And hearing by the word of God. So then, faith cometh by hearing. Look at someone, tell the person, faith cometh by hearing. Tell another person, faith cometh by hearing. So when the word of God is being preached, faith is generated. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? And hearing the word of God. So the word of God has faith to give. The word of God. And when you believe the word of God, that same faith that caused you to believe is imparted into your spirit. The difference between the faith that obtains a good report and our faith is that our faith is imparted into our spirits. And those people who are the heroes of faith in 11, Hebrews chapter 11, their faith was not imparted into their spirit. So there is faith that obtains a good report. Then there is faith in Christ Jesus. There is a difference. Tell somebody there is a difference. So, there is faith that is imparted into your spirit. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. So when the word of God comes to you, or when the word of the gospel is being preached, faith comes to you. That same faith makes you or causes you to believe. That same faith is imparted into your spirit. So the faith that Moses had, that Daniel had, is different from the faith that we have. And the difference is that this one is imparted into your spirit. So the Bible says that for everyone is dealt with the measure of faith. That's Romans chapter what? 12. Open Romans chapter 12 quickly. I want you to see it there. For I say to the grace given unto me every man of himself. Dealt to every man the measure of faith. So when you are born again, you have received faith into your spirit. Your spirit is programmed in faith. There is no Christian who lacks faith. Listen, there is no Christian who lacks faith. When a Christian is not walking by faith, it doesn't mean he lacks faith. Listen again. There is no Christian who lacks faith. When a Christian is not walking by faith, it doesn't mean he lacks faith. Nobody is born again who lacks faith. Oh, shout hallelujah. So the Bible says that we should do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6. He says that we should do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. So we are of the household of faith. Say, I'm of the household of faith. Say that again. Say, I am of the household of faith. So now that you are saved, you are born again, you are a child of God, you have faith in your spirit. It's called the measure of faith. According as God has dealt to every man, the measure of faith. And that measure of faith is for everyone who believes in Christ Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. So we are of the household of faith. Household. Relatives. We know ourselves by faith. We know ourselves in faith. Why? Because we are men of faith. Women of faith. We may not be living by faith. We still have faith. Say, I have faith in my spirit. I have faith in my spirit. Say that. Say, I have faith in my spirit. I have faith in my spirit. Faith is resident in my spirit. Faith is resident in my spirit. I have faith by birth.
I have faith by birth.
My spirit is programmed in faith. That faith is called the measure of faith. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it is important for us to understand that our own faith is different I've talked about one. It is imparted into our spirit. So it is different. Hallelujah. It's different because it's, we have faith in our spirit. You don't lack faith. Sometimes you feel like you lack faith. You don't lack faith. You don't work by your feelings. Hallelujah. You have faith in your spirit. Say, I have faith in my spirit.
I have faith in my spirit.
Say, I have faith in my spirit.
I have faith in my spirit.
So there is no Christian who lacks faith. See, when you read the Bible, I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2. Paul says that we should pray for him that he will be delivered from ignorant and wicked men. Then he says, for not all men have faith. For not all men have faith. So, the ignorant and wicked men do not have faith. That is why he says, for not all men have faith. But there are some men who have faith. And those men have believed in Christ Jesus. And faith has been given to them as a free gift in their spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Zafahasha Kalahaya. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1.
Mm-hmm. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Peter.
Mm-hmm.
A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. For to them who have you seen it there? Have you opened your Bibles? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, to them who have obtained like precious faith. He's talking about us. Look as I say, he's talking about me. It says, those of us who have obtained like precious faith, we have received. Like precious faith. We have received faith. He calls it precious faith. We have received faith. We have obtained faith. We have obtained faith into our spirit. Those who have received like precious faith. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm a child of faith. Say that again. Say, I'm a child of faith.
I'm a child of faith.
Say that again. Say, I'm a child of faith.
I'm a child of faith.
So it is very important that we are able to strike the difference between the faith that is stated in Hebrews chapter 11 and the faith that the church has. It is not the same. And one major difference is that one is in your spirit. The other was not in their spirit. And last week I talked about that, so I'll go there. Amen. Now, I want us to open the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And someone should open Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 to 20, or to 21. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Korahashte liparo kosinde lebe kosaya. So, when you read their epistles, you discover that there is nowhere that the church has said that they don't have faith. The epistles. There is nowhere that the church is described as not having faith. Why? Because the church has faith. And there is nowhere that the church is described as having a great faith or a little faith. And I'll explain that again today very well. Hallelujah. And there is nowhere that the Bible says that Jesus did not have faith. You realize that one day Jesus went to pray. He says, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass me by. Let this cup pass me by. And was in agony and was praying. And was crying unto God, let this cup pass me by. Yet there is no record anywhere in the epistles where anyone apostle said that because Jesus did that, he did not have faith. Because his faith was not described by his action, it was described by what was inside. It is from the inside to the outside. Hallelujah.
Mark chapter 11, quickly.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus answering said unto them,
mm-hmm.
Have faith in God.
Have faith in God. Now listen. Hallelujah. You should understand this thing before I continue. You should understand the communication of Jesus Christ at times in the Gospels and how sometimes it differs from the epistles. You see, Jesus at one time called the disciples, he said, oh, faithless generation. When they went to cast out the demon and the demon did not go, he said, oh, faithless generation. Why? He called them a faithless generation. But he cannot call us a faithless generation. Are you listening? The reason why he was calling the disciples a faithless generation was that the disciples did not have faith in their spirits. They believed in Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They did things because he was present. See, the Bible says that he came unto his own. It says, his own received him not. It says, but as many as believed him, to them, he gave power to become. See, we have believed in him. And he has given us the audacity to become. We have not just believed in Christ. We have become in Christ. Listen. The reason why we have been made in Christ. That is different from the believers that he talks about in the Gospels. That is why he could tell them that, oh, faithless generation. He says, because of your unbelief. Do you know what you have? You have faith. So, you should understand, for instance, the Bible says, in, I think Matthew chapter 6, Matthew, it says that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And it says, and all other things shall be added unto you. But when you come and read the book of Colossians, chapter 1, I think verse 10, it says that, he has delivered us out of the power of darkness. Then it says, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So, in the Gospels, he says we should seek the kingdom. In the Epistles, he says we are in the kingdom. There's difference in communication. That same difference comes in when you are talking about certain subjects like faith, like grace, like love. There's difference. Righteousness. Why? Because when it says that you should seek the kingdom and all other things shall be added, now the kingdom of God is in us. And we are in the kingdom. It says he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So that all the other things that are in the kingdom that he said we should seek, we have them all in us because we have the kingdom. You see where the difference is? Hallelujah. Now, Mark chapter 11 says that have faith in God. The original translation means that have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. So if you don't know it, this is the first time it says, you can write it. Have faith in God actually means have the God kind of faith. So I've told you about how faith is imparted into your spirit. There are kinds of faith. Hallelujah. Shout our faith. Now there are kinds of faith. Say kinds of faith. But Mark 11 says that have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Say the God kind of faith. Now, the faith that is imparted into our spirit, the measure of faith that is imparted into our spirit is the God kind of faith. It is God's faith that he has imparted into our spirits. So the faith that we have is the God kind. The faith that Jesus had was not a receiving faith. It was a doing faith. Are you following?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Are you following? The faith that Jesus has was not a receiving. See.
Oh, hallelujah.
Zaposi kahasha. Kori vahasinde. Shout hallelujah. Are you people following? See, the kind of faith that Jesus had was the God kind of faith. That faith was imparted into his spirit when he was baptized. When the Holy Ghost came on him, faith was imparted into the spirit of Jesus. So when he walked on this earth, he walked by faith. That kind of faith he walked by was the faith that was imparted into his spirit. And that faith was a doing faith. A faith that did things. Not a faith that received from God. That is why there is nowhere in the Bible you see that Jesus went to say, Father, give me this, give me this. Did you see anything? Have you seen anything like that in the Bible? He did not need to receive anything from God. He had received everything from God. Just like we are. And then he demonstrated God. Demonstrated himself. Manifested the things he had received by his faith. So the God kind of faith is the Christ kind of faith. The Christ kind of faith is the church's kind of faith. The God kind of faith is the Christ kind of faith. And the Christ kind of faith is the church's kind of faith. The God kind of faith is the Christ kind of faith. And the Christ kind of faith is the church's kind of faith. Because you can't talk about the church apart from Christ. So, we have the God kind of faith. One day the Bible says that Jesus was hungry. He went to a place, he saw a tree, he wanted to eat from the tree. When he went, there was no fruit. Then the Bible says he cursed the tree. The Bible says when he cursed the tree dried up. Mark says that in 3 days it dried up. Matthew says that presently it dried up. Hallelujah. But then he cursed the tree with a God kind of faith. He cursed the tree with a God kind of faith that he had. You understand? Knowing that the disciples did not have that kind of faith, they came, they said, Master, the tree that you cursed is dried up. That is why he could say that if you have faith or have faith in God, then he says that so that when you say to a mountain to move, the mountain will move. Now, listen. He could say that because that is what he did. He told storms to move. They moved. How? He had the God kind of faith in him. So you see, it means that we've not just received any faith. The faith that is imparted into our spirit is of the God kind. Is the when we say the God kind, it means that the God's faith. God's faith. God's faith. So the faith that God has is the faith that we have. The faith that God has is the faith that we have in our spirit. He calls it the measure of faith. I'll shock some of you right now. Now listen. You see, so faith that we have is the God kind of faith. And is the Christ kind of faith. And that is the same kind that we have. How wonderful. Say, I'm not an ordinary person. Say it again. Say, I'm not an ordinary person. Say, I'm not an ordinary person. So we have received this kind of faith. Now go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Quickly. Shandalaha sekalaha. Mikora sokoro bolobokosa. Okay.
And Jesus said unto them,
because of your unbelief,
for verily I say unto you, if
you
have faith as a
mustard
seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence beyond that place, and it shall remove. Shall be impossible unto you.
And nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, the people who worked with Jesus, or those who came to receive things from Jesus, did not have this kind of faith. He says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. In other words, that's the King James English. Remove from here to another place. And he says, you shall do what? It shall be removed. Then he says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. In other words, the God kind of faith makes impossible things possible. You understand? So he says, and nothing shall be impossible. The limitations of your life is the limitations you put on your life. He says that, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He didn't say that, and nothing shall be impossible unto me. So we say, oh, Jesus Christ, everything is possible to him. Jesus said it with his own mouth. This one is, Jesus said it himself. That this Christ kind of faith, he was talking to the disciples, said, if you have this kind of faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Unto who? Unto who? That is what God says, whether you believe it or not. Is God speaking to me? God speaking to me. He says that, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But then he said, how will nothing be impossible unto you? He says, if you have a faith like a grain of mustard seed. He was talking to who? The disciples. Why? Because they did not have faith. They were in what? Unbelief. Now, Jesus had that kind of faith, which is as the grain of mustard seed. And the people were amazed at the things he did. One day they said, what manner of man is this man? When they saw him in appearance, they couldn't see any difference. But on the inside, there was a big difference. And nothing shall be impossible. It says, you shall say that, remove from here to another place, if you have that faith. Now listen. Shout hallelujah. This faith he was talking about is the faith that has been given to us. He says that the God kind of faith, or the faith that Jesus had, with which he spoke to storms, with which he spoke to demons, with which he spoke to sicknesses. I always said Jesus was a speaking spirit. He spoke to things and they obeyed. And he said that if they had this kind of faith, that kind of faith he was talking about is the faith that has been given to us. He calls it the mustard seed faith. Or the faith that is as a grain of mustard seed. Can I shock you? It means that your faith doesn't need to grow. It means that, see, many people say that faith grows. Faith doesn't grow. Our faith doesn't grow. See, when he said faith comes by hearing, he didn't say faith increases by hearing. He said that grow in grace and in the knowledge. He didn't say grow in faith. So, faith doesn't grow. Why? Because the faith that Jesus described, listen, what is he going to? See, the faith that Jesus described was the faith, he says, as the grain of mustard seed. The grain of mustard is the smallest seed. Very small, very tiny. You don't need bigger faith. He said that if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is a small faith, that is when you shall say to mountains. So what are you doing with big faith? And that is the kind of faith that has been imparted into our spirit. You don't need a higher measure of faith. Why? Faith is constant. Knowledge increases. So, faith comes by hearing. How have you received faith? By hearing. But faith doesn't increase by hearing. Faith doesn't need to increase. Why? Because Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain. So the problem with many Christians is that they are not saying. They are saying they are growing faith. Don't grow faith. Say. That is why the other day I said here that We don't pray about situations. We speak to situations. When you are looking for something to pray about, it's not situations. Pray for nations. Speak to situations. It says, you shall say to this mountain, remove from here and be planted here. With the faith as a grain of mustard seed. So your faith doesn't need to grow. What increases is knowledge. Listen. Knowledge makes your faith operative. So your the effectiveness of your faith is dependent on your knowledge. I've shocked you right now. So faith doesn't grow. You're waiting for your faith to grow. The God kind of faith. Our faith. Where is it growing to? How did you receive it in the first place? The same faith you received when you were saved. The same faith that enabled you to be saved. And the same faith that came into you for you to be saved is the same faith you used in manifesting all the things that you have received by that same kind of faith. So when you get saved by this faith, Christ comes into you. I've explained that all throughout. And all the things that are in Christ are in you. The manifestation of those things is still by the same faith by which Christ came into you. You don't need a higher faith for it to manifest. You need the same kind of faith. He calls it the God kind of faith. He calls it the measure of faith. It is your own possession now. The God kind of faith is our possession. It is that same kind of faith which he calls the mustard seed faith. And it's the same kind of faith which he says that if you have that faith. He was saying if they had that faith because they did not have it. He had it. So now that we are saved by his resurrection, anybody who believes in him as Lord, believes in his lordship, that he is Lord, he gives you that faith. The same way he gives you his life. The same way he gives you his righteousness. Do you grow in his life? Or you grow his life? You don't grow the life of God. No. You don't grow the nature of God. You receive the knowledge. The knowledge. So the faith you need to move every situation and nothing will be impossible unto you is already in you. That faith is operative by knowledge. The effectiveness of your faith or the God kind of faith which is resident in you is by the knowledge of Christ that you receive. The more light, the more operative you become. The more light, the more your faith becomes operative. The more light, the more knowledge. The more knowledge, the more your faith becomes operative. So the reason why you need knowledge is for your faith to be operative, not for more faith to be added. Why? Because knowledge enlightens you. Knowledge lightens you up. Knowledge is light unto you. So, I have faith. Say, I have faith. Now, the more knowledge you receive about how powerless the devil is, or the more knowledge you receive about how lesser the devil is because of where you are in Christ, the more you operate in that direction. So you have faith to cast the devil out. Are you listening? The knowledge of God lightens you up. Lightens you up. The more knowledge you have, the more you receive light on how powerless this devil is. Then I talked about sickness as the spirit of infirmity. Then I said that you have faith to cast out the spirit of infirmity and to be healed. By yourself. Now, the more knowledge you have about sickness as the spirit of infirmity, the more your faith that is already in you becomes operative in that direction. the more you can meet sickness and see this is the spirit of infirmity and cast it out and the person will be healed. How? Because knowledge, light, has come so much unto you so that your faith becomes operative. Hallelujah. So, faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't increase by hearing. Faith, there's a different thing coming and increasing. Once you receive faith into your spirit, all you need is more knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the more lighter a circumstance or your circumstance becomes to you. It becomes lighter. Why? Because you are so enlightened, you cannot understand why this thing should be there. The knowledge of... Oh, hallelujah. That is why the knowledge of Christ is important. And that's why I always say when we come forward, the knowledge of Christ is very important. It doesn't matter where you find yourself in. The faith that you need to throw that thing off is already in you. But the light. That Paul said, I pray. Paul did not say, I pray that you have faith. I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be, ever since we heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since, Ephesians chapter 1. It says, ever since we heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire. It says, ever since we heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being flooded with light. So the more your spirit is flooded with light, the more your faith becomes operative. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, faith comes, is very important. Your faith doesn't grow. Your faith is the God kind of faith which you have received. The difference between what you may know and what I'm teaching you is that there is a faith that is imparted into your spirit. And there is a faith of the elders that is not imparted into their spirit. And that faith is the God kind. And he says that God kind of faith can do these things. Then he begins to explain to us what the God kind of faith can do. And then he, with that God kind of faith, did it. Then he says that now he has given us that same God kind of faith to do. So it is a doing faith. It's not for God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. Hallelujah. It's for doing. It's for action. The God kind of faith is for action. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So faith comes by hearing. That's what the Bible says. It says, take heed what you hear. What you hear. It says, take heed what you hear. He says, the one who looks into the word of God and forgets, like a person who looks at himself in the mirror and forgets what manner of person he is. Why is he saying that? He doesn't talk about faith. He talks about knowledge. How you can receive the word of God and let it stay. The more of the word of God or the knowledge of Christ that you are open to, that is unveiled to you, the more your faith becomes operative. The more your faith becomes active. It means that there are two operations of your faith. That's what is called passive faith and active faith. The same kind of faith. When we say passive faith, it means that your faith, you have received faith. You are not operating or working by faith, but it's there. It's a passive faith. Then there's an active faith which is in operation. And that active faith is in operation. The passive faith is not in operation because of your ignorance. But the active faith is in operation by knowledge. So we also having the same spirit of faith. We do believe and we speak. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there is passive faith and there is active faith. Write it down. Of the God kind of faith. The Christ kind of faith. The church's kind of faith. We have the God kind of faith. We are of the God kind. It says, for whatsoever is born of God. We originate from God. He is our source by birth. So his kind of faith is our kind of faith. We look to what he does. We look to what Jesus does. Then with the kind of faith and knowledge, we move into operation. Have you written it down? Have you written it down? So there is the God kind that we have. I don't want to be in a rush. I want you to understand this one. Honestly, you can be talking about something which is very powerful. I don't want this one to slip you by. Shout hallelujah. So the measure of faith that you have received, which is the God kind of faith, which is imparted into your spirit, is the mustard seed faith. As small as it is, he says that that same faith, as small as it is, can do what? Move a mountain from one place to another. Then he says that, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hi, this is a powerful statement. When somebody sends you and he says, go, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Do you know what that means? Instead of looking at how weak you are in yourself, look at how strong you are in Christ. Instead of looking at how powerless you are in yourself, look at how powerful you are in Christ. Let Christ be your mirror. That's why we are talking about Christ is the mirror of the Christian. Shout hallelujah. So understand the communication of God. God's communication in his word. We are not faithless generation. We can't be. We are men and women of faith. We have received like precious faith. We are of the household of faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost for the next 5 seconds. Lift up your voice. Zabalaka sondelika. Makoro bosiki rabolobosanda. Hallelujah. Open to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. I want to show you something before I move on. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. Zafa Shandelebe Kosaya. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. Can use that one as an example. 23 to 26.
And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Insomuch that the ship was covered with a wave. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, for we perish. And he said,
now listen. He says, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Why did he tell them that they were of little faith? He says they were fearful. See, that is why I'm using this one as an example. Last week I said something here that we are of the Christ kind of faith. Our faith is defined in Christ. And next week I'll be talking about this. Our hope is defined in Christ. Our faith is defined in Christ. But then our faith is defined in Christ. So, when we are looking for examples of faith, Christ is our example of faith. Are you listening? Christ is our example of faith. Now, these disciples saw the storms. They were afraid. He said they had little faith. We cannot say we have little faith. Because we are not of the disciples who were afraid. We are of the Christ who was asleep. Know where you are coming from.
When the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, not if any man be outside Christ. See, the greatest error that we have is when we begin to think that we are outside Christ. Shout hallelujah. Say, I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
Say, Christ Jesus is in me.
Christ Jesus is in me.
Say, I am in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ Jesus.
Go to Mark. Quickly, another example. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Quickly, example. Quickly.
Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12.
Uh-huh.
And again, he entered into Capernaum.
Uh-huh.
And straight away we were gathered together in so much that
there was no room to receive them.
Uh-huh.
No, not so much as about the door.
Mm-hmm.
And he preached the word unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And they come unto him,
mm-hmm.
bringing one sick of the palsy,
mm-hmm.
which was born of four.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh. Quickly, Obed.
And when they could not come nigh unto him for their press,
uh-huh.
they uncovered the roof,
uh-huh.
where he was. And when they had broken it up,
uh-huh.
they let down the bed wherein the sick. And when they had broken it up,
uh-huh.
they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay.
Uh-huh.
When Jesus saw their faith,
uh-huh.
he said unto the sick of the palsy,
uh-huh.
Son,
mm-hmm.
thy sins be forgiven thee.
Mm-hmm.
But there were certain of the scribes sitting there,
mm-hmm.
and reasoning in their hearts,
mm-hmm.
why does this man that speak blasphemies?
Mm-hmm.
Who can forgive sins but God only?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit,
mm-hmm.
that they so reasoned within themselves,
mm-hmm.
he said unto them,
mm-hmm.
why reason ye these things in your hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy,
uh-huh.
thy sins be forgiven thee,
mm-hmm.
or to say,
mm-hmm.
arise,
mm-hmm.
and take up thy bed and walk?
And walk. Mm-hmm.
But that he may know that,
mm-hmm.
the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins,
mm-hmm.
he said to the sick of the palsy,
mm-hmm.
I say unto thee,
mm-hmm.
arise,
mm-hmm.
and take up thy bed,
mm-hmm.
and go thy way into thine house.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he arose,
took
up the bed,
mm-hmm.
and went forth before them all,
mm-hmm.
in so much that,
mm-hmm.
they were all amazed,
uh-huh.
and glorified God, saying,
mm-hmm.
we never saw it on this fashion.
Uh-huh. Now listen, it's very important. Listen. Where we read says that someone was sick. The person was taken to Jesus Christ. Jesus was there. See the difference. It's very important you understand this thing. And it's very important that we understand. Anywhere you listen to this message, anybody who listens must understand. That's why I want you to understand. And anyone who listens must understand that there is a difference between the faith that Christ used in operating and the faith that those men came to Christ to receive healing from. There's a difference. It's very important. Until you strike that difference, the church cannot be operative. So, the man brought the sick person. The sick person came to Jesus to be healed. The faith that they had, for which they brought to Jesus Christ, it was different from the faith that Jesus had, for which he said, rise up and walk. If the man had the faith that Jesus had, he could rise up on his own to walk. Are you listening? The faith for which Jesus Christ himself was not sick to rise up is the faith that we have. And those people believed in Jesus and they came to him to be healed. The Bible describes that as faith. You understand? But the faith that I'm talking to you about is the faith that Jesus used in telling them, rise up and walk. Because it is that same kind of faith that he has given to us. So last week I talked to you about another kind of faith, which I said that the people responded to the word of God as God spoke to them. Like Moses, like Noah, like Abel. But this time I'm talking to you about the faith that that God used in doing the things he did in their lives.
and the faith that Jesus used in doing things in the lives of people. And I'm telling you that that same kind of faith is what has been given to you. Hallelujah. So it is important that we understand that even though we read the gospel and find out that we say, oh, there was this woman who came to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus said that your faith has healed you. You understand? That kind of faith is different from the kind of faith that Jesus had. One day a centurion said that his servant was sick. Then he called Jesus. Then Jesus was coming. Then he said that, I do not deserve that you come under my roof, but speak the word only. Then he said, for I'm a man under authority just as you are. And when I say to this one, move, he moves. And when I say to this one, go, he goes. I have servants under me. When I say they should go, they go. So speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said that I've not found such great faith, not in Israel. If that man, centurion, had the kind of faith that Jesus had, he would have laid his hands on that. That is why the Bible tells us that we should lay hands on the sick. It didn't say that we should be the sick going to look for healing. Why? Because he defines us by Christ in the New Testament. He doesn't define us by the circumstances that we find ourselves in. He defines us by Christ, because Christ is in us and we are in Christ. So the faith we have is the same faith that Jesus had, not another one, not a lesser one. Now go to Hebrews 11 quickly.
Hebrews chapter 11,
verse 39 to 40.
And these all,
having obtained a good report through faith,
received not the promise.
Mm-hmm.
God, having provided some better thing for us,
mm-hmm,
that they without us should not be made perfect.
So it means that, I said it last week, we are the perfection of their faith. It means that, that's what last week I said, that they are our examples. Christ Jesus is our perfect example. Then listen, we have what is called perfect faith that they did not have. Which people? The heroes of faith. So he said that God, having provided a better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It means that the heroes of faith, Hebrews chapter 12, quickly.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about
with so great a cloud of witnesses,
let us lay aside
the cloud of witnesses. Are those heroes of faith? Daniel, who? David, who? Enoch, who? Noah, who? He says they are cloud of witnesses. It means that they are in heaven. They are in the realm of heaven. And they are watching us. Just like when you are playing, someone is playing football, there are people there that are there cheering them up. You understand? He calls that cloud of witnesses. He calls them cloud of witnesses. Those who are looking from heaven. Oh yeah. Is that not powerful? But it means that they are looking from heaven to see our faith. Because our faith is the perfect faith. Their faith was not perfect. So to discover what is perfect faith, they are looking at us. They are looking at us. Why? Because we have the perfect faith that they do not have. And it is a perfect faith because it's a God kind of faith. There cannot be anything wrong with the God kind of faith. And it's a Christ kind of faith. So they are looking at us to discover, to know what is perfect faith. For God, having provided a better thing for us, so that they without us should not be made perfect in their faith. So we are the perfection of their faith.
Now, continue. Hebrews 12. Start again, verse 1.
Cloud of witnesses.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily besets us,
And let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience.
Looking unto Jesus.
He says, looking unto Jesus.
The author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
He says, looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of whose faith? So after talking about Hebrews chapter 11, comes to the last verse 39 and 40. He moves to Hebrews chapter 12, which is a continuation. Then he says that, because we have a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. And let us run the race with patience. Looking unto Moses. Looking unto Daniel. He says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. He is the beginning of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. Whose faith? So the faith that you have right now cannot be compared to the faith that they had. The one who has that kind of faith is one person. He's Jesus. So he says that he is the beginner, the author, the one who begins our faith. How does he begin our faith? Because we believe in him. We don't believe in Moses to be saved. We believe in Christ Jesus. And because we believe in Christ Jesus, and he gives us his faith, he is the author, the beginner of our faith. And the one who finishes our faith. Shout hallelujah. He says, looking unto Jesus. He says, looking unto Jesus. He says, looking unto Jesus. Why? He has described the heroes already. But he never said we should look to none of the heroes of faith. He didn't say look to any of the heroes of faith. He says, no, no, no. So when you're looking at Moses, he says, no. You're looking wrongly. You're looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Through faith, they quench the balance of fire. He says, you're looking wrongly. He says, look unto Jesus. Why? See, the actual translation says that, consider attentively Jesus, who is the chief leader of our faith. He is the chief leader of our faith. Then he is the completer or the consummator. Oh, you can write it down. It's very powerful. It says, consider attentively or carefully Jesus. Consider attentively or carefully Jesus. Who is the chief leader of our faith? Oh, Lama Sinde. Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. He is the chief leader of our faith and the completer. Completer or consummator. Or the one who has raised faith to its perfection. When you check the Greeks, that's what they talk about. He has raised faith to its perfection. So Jesus raised faith to its perfection and has set for us a perfect example of faith. He is the chief leader and the one who has raised faith to its perfection. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. That is why he says that for whatsoever is born of God. See, Jesus said that in the world you have tribulation. Then he says, and in me, but in me you have peace. He says that cheer up, for I have overcome the world. You've heard it before. When Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Then now he tells us that for this is the victory that overcomes the world.
For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And he says, for this is the victory that overcomes the world. He says, even our faith. Why? Because the chief leader of our faith overcame. The chief leader. His name is Jesus. He overcame the world. He still overcomes the world. And now he says that our faith in our chief leader overcomes the world. So what overcomes the world is your faith. Even our faith. Even our faith. Our faith. It says the faith that we have overcomes the world. Do you know what that means?
Next week I'll teach you.
Overcomes. It says even our faith. But then it says, looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Say, I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm
seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ
say, I have the Christ kind of faith. Say, the measure of faith that is in my spirit
can move mountain.
And nothing is impossible unto me.
Because I have the kind of faith
that moves mountain.
Mountain.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it says, looking unto Jesus. The more we look unto Jesus, the more we look at ourselves. The more we look unto Jesus, the more we discover who we are. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is in us. We are who we are because of Him. So as we look unto Him, we realize. We become aware of who we are. So when the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God, we can also say we are sons of God. Why? Because we look unto Him to describe ourselves. Then we look unto Him to describe what we can do. Then we look unto Him to describe what we have. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we are ending here. Next week we are continuing on our faith. Look at someone, tell the person that our faith. See, if you had missed this one, it would have been better. Next week, don't miss it. Why? See, because I'm going to teach you something on this, our faith. I want to teach you something that will cause you to do something. So next week is an action night. Say action. By the time you go home, you go and lay hands on somebody. Hallelujah. And I talked about the spirit of infirmity. When I told you about the spirit of infirmity, you didn't do anything. I just taught you the spirit of infirmity and went home. Now I've taught you on faith. We are going home. Well, listen. Next week, I'll teach you on faith that will cause you to look for spirits of infirmities. Because see, there is an awareness. Hallelujah. Don't play. Next week, if you know you are finding yourself in any situation, circumstance, you don't need prayers. No. As I teach you on faith, just get drunk. Why? Because when you get drunk, you begin to act. It's important that we understand Christ, our faith in Christ. When you understand our faith in Christ, you don't know what you do. Why? Because God told you, said, after you've taught the people the spirit of infirmity, they say, oh, spirit of infirmity. When you go, listen to Christ in you, or the mystery of the one that I talked about, Christ in you, or the mystery of Christ today. And then look, if you have written it down, you can go and study about the spirit of infirmity. Take your time to study it. And take your time to study the ministry of Jesus. Let's see, what I want us to do is that I want us to take the ministry of Jesus one by what he did. We do the same.
So if you are sick, you cast out. You say, what are you doing in my body? Do you know what Paul said? He said, I keep my body under subjection. But yesterday I stumbled on that scripture. You keep your body under subjection. That's why I said that you control whether you can get sick or you don't get sick. It's not somebody who controls it for you. It's not that you control it. Do you know? You don't know who is inside you. Hallelujah. You control your body. You keep your body under subjection. Paul said, else after I have preached, I myself will be a castaway. So he didn't want to preach and be a castaway. So he kept his body under subjection. That's why he said, I'm choosing to die or not to die. He kept his body. He knew that his inside was superior to the outward. Shout hallelujah. So you keep your body under subjection unto you, your spirit. You decide for yourself whether this death is you or not, somebody else. You don't say, I saw death, I had a demon. No. It may be somebody else you may see. Why? Because you keep your body under subjection to death. And I said something last year. I said, there's a difference between the finished work of the cross and the good works of the throne. Finished work of the cross and the good works of the throne. You should understand. Next week I'll explain it. What I want to teach next week, we'll explain that one better. Shout hallelujah. I hope you'll be upstanding. Abandoned ne wo ye owa o mona motefu nina kala hasanta na baha
o mona
Are you listening? I want you for in Iden. Anya Fahundi. Ewoni. Ya yetiri muno. Yanya Fahundi. You've not seen me teaching in P before. I teach in P so much. But listen, I want us to sing it as we pray. You see, music, songs minister to you. So when you sing it, you tell yourself that you have gained freedom in Him. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if you are in Christ, you are in liberty. You are not now going to get liberty. Hallelujah. Can we please lift up our hands and sing it passionately as we pray in the Holy Ghost and worship Him?
Oh, abandon me.
Lift up our hands. I please lift our hands. I want you to pray. You're singing this already. You're going to pray. Listen. Some of you are going to begin right now to speak to any issue. You speak to anything.
maybe you are looking for an opportunity or something. Whatever you want. Some of you are going to be commanding. Some of you are going to be calling for things. That is the Christ life. Lift up your hands and listen. Listen. See, Kalo Sandalabaha. Listen. Sometimes when I sit down, when I meditate on the scriptures for some time and I sit down, I begin to imagine. I imagine a Christian who whatever contract he wants comes to him. Lift up your hands and listen. A Christian businessman who whatever contract he wants, when he commands them, they come to him. I imagine a Christian who, when he wants a baby, can speak that baby, boy or girl. I imagine a Christian. Are you listening? Lift up your hands. Listen. Those are my imaginations. I'm looking for Christians who are so lighted up that whatever they want, they can call it forth and see it manifest. They can command things. They can speak to circumstances. Your husband is messing up. You command him in your privacy. Why? Because the supernatural controls the natural. And the Christian is a supernatural person in kind. Jesus was more of the supernatural than the natural. So sometimes when I meditate on the scriptures, this is what I imagine. When you want a job, you can get a job. Because as you speak, spiritually there is an oppression. I imagine Christians with a lot of contracts, a lot of business opportunities. In control of finances. And that is only possible with the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ carries you there. You are going to speak. Listen, you are going to pray for the next 10 minutes, the next 7 minutes. You are going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Those of you find yourself in a predicament. You are going to speak. You are going to speak to the thing. And you are going to come back here with testimony that you spoke to this thing. You commanded sickness out of your body. Hey, some of you, sometimes you have pain in your head. You have pain in your leg. The thing moves to your stomach. To where is your heart? You are going to speak. Some of you want opportunities, job, expansion, enlargement, customers. In Christ Jesus, we call for customers. Alaba. Lift up your hands.
The word is a seed when planted and watered. Grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe? Dare to receive in a world.